So what is the owner and president and man behind the plan of the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater doing 9.5 hours before the doors open tonight for the very first time, besides talking to us?
Right, besides.
Howard Safan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Good. More importantly, how are you feeling?
Very excited. Can't wait. It's 8 years in the making, and it's going to be an awesome evening.
What are you worried about right now?
I worry about operational things, how clean everything is. I let from the stage back, that's Jimmy's problem. From the stage forward, it's our problem.
Wow.
So it's the little things.
You got a bigger area.
You do have a bigger area.
Yes.
Will we get the full effect tonight, or some things are still in the making?
No, you're gonna get the full effect tonight. The only thing that's not open is Two Roads, because we just couldn't get the bars finished in time. So you'll see that in a couple weeks. But notwithstanding that, you're gonna get the whole breadth of the facility.
Nice. So 69 bars instead of 70 bars tonight.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, we should be okay.
I'll pace myself.
Yeah, you really have to see the dugout bars on the floor. They've just come out amazing. And the fact that people who sit on the floor can get a drink and still watch the bands, it's just awesome.
Do you need a ticket for the floor to get to those bars?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Great. So if you pay for the floor, then you're not going to be like, hey.
Hey, I saw you.
Hey, that's Chaz. He's up in section 302. What's he doing down here?
Hey, you ducked in the airplane.
There,
hey,
section 302. I'm fancy.
Right.
What's on your punch list? Is there a punch list from now until 5 o'clock that you're like, check? We got to check these things off.
Oh, yeah. I'll go through every suite. I'll go through every club. Check the VIP lounges, especially Jimmy's Club. Make sure it's all set.
Are all the things hung for Jimmy's Club?
Oh, yeah. All the pictures are hung. He'll see it for the first time this morning. We have a ribbon cutting at 10:30.
Awesome.
With the mayor and Jeff Flax. So he'll see it for the first time, everything hung up, and I'm sure he'll make changes.
How many eateries at the amphitheater?
Oh, my God. That's a really good question. I know we have 146 points of sale, which means cash registers.
Wow.
But the eateries, I'll give you just a little summation. So we have Pepe's Pizza. We have Hoodoo Brown Barbecue. We have Casey's Grilled Cheese. We have Little Pub. We have Tasty Yolk. We have Donut Crazy. We have the concession stands have Hummel's Hot Dogs. Who am I forgetting? My God.
A million. I put you on the spot here. I should have had a list ready.
I'm full anyway.
Yeah, well, that's my plan, is to get there at 5 and then hit some of these eateries, because it's an experience. It's not just, let's go, let's get a hot dog and a beer, and then the band comes on. This is, you get there early, it's beautiful, you walk around.
Yep.
This is the only place in the world where you can go and get Pepe's Little Pub, Grilled Cheese, Donut Crazy, all of these things in one spot without getting in your car.
Seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you're a foodie.
One-stop shop.
It's worth it. There you go. There we go. Yeah.
I was taking somebody around the other day, and they said to me, oh, my God, you have Hoodoo Brown Barbecue. I don't have to wait 2.5 hours. And I just cracked up. I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. It's, we had Big Chris, one of the owners, in yesterday, and they are just so excited to be part of us. And as I said to him, we're so excited for you to be part, for us to be part of you. It's just an incredible partnership. Doug from Little Pub. It's and by the way, I see that the town of Stratford's giving him a hard time. That is just unbelievably unfair. But notwithstanding that, it's just for these guys to be, to be part of our facility. It's just a wonderful relationship.
Howard Safan is on, owner and president of the new Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater, opening tonight. So we have shops there too, right? Are there shops? T-shirts and shops?
Yeah.
It's food and beer.
As you walk in, the merchandise is going to be right in front of your...
Excellent.
The band merchandise is going to be right in front of your eyes. And it's in three locations, so we've laid it out pretty well, that people won't have to wait in these awesome lines that you see if you go to MSG or somewhere. I don't mean to to say anything bad about Adams Street, but if you go to a regular arena or a stadium, the merchandise lines, you can be waiting for a half hour, and that just won't happen by us.
Who got the biggest suite tonight, Sticks or REO?
That's a Vista Coplick. I will tell you a funny story. I went to Jimmy, and I said, Jimmy, you know, who gets the big suite? He said, both of them. It gets to be a living room. So it's great. You know, it's all set up. We got we found out what candy they liked, and
what is it?
Okay. So Butterfingers,
nice. Love those.
M&M's. We have jelly beans in there.
Oh.
We have Reese's peanut butter cups and Swedish Fish.
Oh, they like the peanut butter.
Right. So the band's be like really sugared out tonight.
Lots of energy. A high energy show.
They haven't blinked in a week.
Saturday night when you had the open house, I got a chance to walk back there again to the the dressing rooms. And unlike other times where it's just a group of, you know, five or six people, there were dozens of people back there. And I must have heard, oh, my God, 30 or 40 times.
Wow.
People were just blown away. Like, even people like me who really don't go backstage,
yeah,
and really don't know what it's like, they knew that this was special.
Oh,
so
yeah,
those artists are going to be
gorgeous,
happy. We were just telling Tommy Shaw, get ready.
Yep.
Yesterday we had an agent that came by, and he walked through, and this is somebody whose hair is the same color as mine, and has been in this business for a long time, and he just turned to me and he says, I've been all around the world. I've never seen a back of house like this.
Wow.
So, and the typical fan, including myself, never sees back of house, right? So the ability to show 1,000 people on Saturday night, you know, the back of house, I thought was just really cool. So that's why we did it.
I've been in the dressing room at Toad's Place where the Stallions and Billy Joel and all those were. It is not a place you think the Stones or Billy Joel would be. It's more of a place you would think someone would be jailed. It smelled like stale beer and urine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is a palace.
Yeah, that's a good part.
How many people you think between your staff and Live Nation staff will be working tonight?
Oh, and Aramark staff. We'll have over 1,000 people working in the venue.
1,000 people working.
Damn.
It's a city.
It is.
It's really a city.
Yep.
Well, you know, we made that commitment to the city of Bridgeport, Mayor Ganim, and the city council that we were going to have a tremendous economic impact. And tonight's just an example of that.
What's the difference, Howard, between what you thought the project was going to cost and what it came out to?
A lot of money. we're in checkbook accounting at this point. This is not a well-budgeted project, that's to say the least.
But you also had to deal with COVID, right? So COVID comes and then everything gets more expensive. Trucking, shipping, right?
Yes. 2 days ago, we had 3 pickup trucks traveling in the region just to bring in materials.
Wow.
It's for anybody in the construction business, and I'm not telling anything that nobody knows. It's just dreadful to build right now. The prices, materials, the labor shortage for everybody, and it's a challenge.
Guitar Man came together here on the air. A tribe member called in, mentioned it to Jimmy, said, I know where it is, and Jimmy mentioned it to you. And you were an immediate yes, and you went out and looked at it. Bring us through that.
So Jimmy calls me. I'm coming back from Vermont, and he's so excited because you guys charged him up.
And, sorry.
And he's like, you got to see Guitar Man. You got to see Guitar Man. So I literally pull off the road in Hamden, and I visit Leo, the owner of Guitar Man, who's got an amazing, by the way, I'm going to give him a plug, he's got an amazing vodka called Got Attitude Vodka.
Oh, okay.
And you'll be able to get that at the amphitheater.
Nice.
And so I look at Guitar Man, and it's on the face of his building and back of Splash Car Wash, and I look and I'm like, are you kidding me? This is what we got to put on our building. It was in, you know, no disrespect to anybody. It was in deplorable condition. So I send ABC sign, Greg DeSanti down. And I said, Greg, you got to do me a favor. Greg's been a friend and a supplier for 40 years. And I said, you got to take a look at this and figure this out. So he goes down and he says, Howard, this thing's in deplorable condition. I said, I really and truly don't care. I said, this is the connection between the New Haven Coliseum and our facility, and it means more to me than the dollars and cents. And so he took it all, he craned it off the wall, and then he brought it to his facility, and then he called me up, you know, telling me all the bad things about it, and I just said, restore it. And he came up with the idea of putting LED lighting, backlighting behind it, which we did, and then he craned it onto the building, and it's amazing. It's like I said, it's the continuance of the New Haven Coliseum. What is that, 1972, right? To today.
Yeah.
And so we're spanning almost 50 years of concert enjoyment with Guitar Man, and I tend to think that Guitar Man looks out over us and gives us all the good fortune.
All the good vibes.
Yep.
It has felt a lot of vibrations of roaring crowds and pounding bands. So,
and by the way, Guitar Man never would have happened if not for you guys. So it's, you know, you have to take your bows as well. It's a wonderful thing. The listeners get to enjoy it, but they have to know that without Chaz and AJ, Guitar Man would absolutely not be on the amphitheater.
Well, thank you, but you have to write the checks out.
So exactly.
Our part, yeah. Our part was easy.
We just pointed it out.
Kristen said that you're going to reimburse me. Is that true?
I've got a bad connection. What?
What's that?
Bad connection. What? Where'd
well,
he go?
We're looking forward to tonight. This area just needed this, so we thank you for doing it and risking all the money to put it together. And, man, we finally, this area has a great place to see a concert.
On a personal level, I want to thank the two of you and your entire staff. You've been incredibly supportive of the amphitheater, and you had a lot of faith in me, and that meant the world. And there are a lot of people, naysayers, who, as you well know, that throughout Bridgeport that said this will never become an amphitheater. And you guys had my back all the way, and I can't thank you enough for that.
Well, Kristen is your biggest fan,
right.
And I love that we were introduced through her. But you came on the radar when you bought a piece of land near the dump in Shelton, and I thought to myself, who would want that?
Why would someone want
that?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that?
Right.
And then Howard builds Connecticut Sports Center to Connecticut Premier Sports
Facility.
Did
a lot with it, yes.
Like, oh, yep. Okay, got to watch this guy.
You totally rock, man.
So, congratulations to you,
yep,
and your army of people.
Absolutely.
Who put this thing together, and looking forward to the show tonight.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you guys.
Awesome.
Thank
same,
you.
Same.
Howard's a fan. Owner, president of the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater, opening tonight with Styx and REO Speedwagon.
Jazz and AJ, Premier Auto Group News.
Well, here it is. It's the big day. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 the Fox, Jazz and AJ in the morning. It's concert one tonight,
yes,
at the new Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. REO Speedwagon and Styx will take the stage around 7:30. Styx is first, then REO. On the line now, Live Nation concert god Jimmy Koplik. So, how you feeling?
Well, I'm a little nervous, in all honesty. It's always nerve-wracking when you open up a new venue, and all the systems really haven't been tested with real people, real fans in the venue. So, fingers are crossed. I'm sure we'll do fine tonight, and you know, this is probably going to be the last venue I open in my career, so it's extra special to me.
Wow. That's right. What is going through your mind now? What are some of your concerns?
Well, my main concern is always the weather, because we always want people to enjoy themselves. It looks like we'll be fine with the weather today, so that's nice.
Good. But that roof protects you from the weather, most people, right?
Yeah. But still, when you're at a venue and you want to, you know, go around the whole venue and see everything, and not only be huddled under the roof, it's a much more enjoyable experience.
Right.
And it being show one, as you said, we want everybody to walk out of there talking about how wonderful their experience is. So, I'm the pessimist of the group, and everybody beats me up for it, but I think traffic will run fine. I know the lines to the food and beverage will be fine, because Howard has overpopulated the points of sale. We have almost as many points of sale for 5,700 people that we do for 25,000 people at Xfinity in Hartford.
Wow.
So I don't think that will be an issue. And it's really a thing of beauty. The venue is a thing of beauty. I give really all the credit to Howard Safin. I'm just me and my son are the guys booking it, really. Howard really is the one who put his money behind it and his reputation behind it.
The band and their equipment, have they arrived yet?
Styx came in last night.
Was there a reaction?
They loved it, and they ate downtown in Bridgeport last night. So already we're feeling the economy being helped in Bridgeport, which is a key element to this whole venue. They got a private room at Joe's, an Italian restaurant downtown, and had a big party down there. So
is that Joseph's Steakhouse?
Yep.
Yeah,
I believe so. I'm not really sure.
Bacon slabs? And that any steak with the steak sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I'm hungry.
It really is. This is something for the fans and something that I'm very proud of. But this is also something for Connecticut economy and something for the Bridgeport economy. We expect a lot of people to come up from Westchester. You know, we're on Fox, and Fox bleeds into Westchester, which is great. And we think this is going to be a great venue for Westchester County and Fairfield County. We're really focusing on that.
What will you be doing today? What's on your list of things to accomplish before 5 o'clock?
Well, the honest truth is we're going to run up there around 10:30 and do a ribbon cutting ceremony with the mayor.
Cool.
And then I'm going to run to Greenwich and see Shelley Finkel, because today is the 48th anniversary of Watkins Glen.
Oh, wow.
And we try to see each other sometime around that.
Isn't that neat that you have a big show today?
Right.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. So we always try to see each other right around our Watkins Glen anniversary. So I think I'll leave right after. I'll have lunch up at the venue.
There's a sign, Jimmy, that you're in good shape. That you didn't put this lunch off like, hey, Shelly, we're going to have to do it Thursday, Friday.
Right. It's bad for me.
Not great.
Yeah.
I got that thing. Yeah.
Well, listen, I love Shelly, and Shelly's like my big brother. And when he was 33 and I was 28,
right,
he liked me calling his big brother. Now that I'm about to turn 72 and he's 77, he doesn't like being called big brother anymore. But he is like my big brother. So I'm really trying to – I'm sure I'll get down there and see him, and then I'll drive right back to Bridgeport again. I should be at Bridgeport by 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
How many Live Nation people will be there tonight working?
Oh, there'll be probably 15 to 20 Live Nation people. The managers of both bands are coming in. The agents of both bands are coming in. Other agents that don't even have anything to do with these bands are coming in. This has created an industry stir, unlike something I've seen before. And most of the agents of many agencies that are based in New York City are coming up to see the opening of this venue.
The Live Nation part of that back of the house is interesting. There's one giant room where it's like NASA, where all the Live Nation people will gather and they can watch monitors of
Control
the show.
Central,
but they're also near phones and computer screens. And
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive.
Mission Control.
It is the best backstage of any concert venue I've ever been in my entire life. And I'm hopeful that the artists will feel that way. We had managers come up and give us advice on what they wanted backstage. We had agents, managers, road managers. We had so many people come up, and we built it for them.
That's
and then
the
when
best way
it
to
came
do.
To build the front of the venue, we brought a lot of fans in and did a study group on what they like and what they don't like.
Oh.
And we built it for the fans also. So what we tried to do is it's the first artist/fan venue that I think has been built in the country.
Now, you've been doing this for a long time. Did you learn anything from the fan study groups?
Yes. To my surprise, it's not how close you are to the stage. It's your view from the stage straight on. They'd rather sit 5 to 10 rows back and have a straight-ahead view of the stage than be 3 or 4 rows back and be on the side of the stage.
Oh.
Which I always said to myself, well, you want to be close to the stage? But no, they'd rather have a straight-on view of the stage, which I really love the fact that this venue is built that way, because it's built like an amphitheater. You know, a baseball stadium is built to look at the pitcher's mound at second base. Well, we put the stage at second base.
Nice.
So everything will face the stage. It's unlike arenas or tennis stadiums or anything like that, that really everything is towards center court. You know, whether it's an arena where everything is square all the way around. And so everything is, if you're sitting on the side, the stage is at the end, but the seats are facing center court in an arena. So you try to avoid that. This is like an amphitheater. Everything is facing the stage. So I think we've worked that out real nicely.
Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation Concert God is on. We're talking about show one tonight at the New Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. So you took us through part of your day. So first part is a ribbon cutting. Second part is lunch with an old friend. What's next?
Right back to Bridgeport. I mean, even though I live in Stamford, I'll drive by the exit that I live off of the Merritt, and I'll continue right up to Bridgeport. And I'll be in Bridgeport by 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And I will basically walk the venue and see how everything is coming along. The food stands are getting ready to open. The front gates, my security team I'll see. And all my staff will be there.
Wow. So it sounds like things are in pretty good shape.
Yeah, buttoned up.
So it's ribbon cutting, lunch, and then a walk around.
Yes. Like, and then when the band's going to, the sound check starts sometime around 3 or 4 in the afternoon. I'm not sure if the bands will participate in the sound check or their roadies will participate in the sound check. I'll wait and see. But the managers who I've known, the REO manager I've known since college, we went to college together.
Wow.
And the Styx manager I've known for 50 years. So we're going to have a lot of fun. And hopefully you and I will get up on stage and welcome everybody.
I would love that. I would love to bring you out. And I think, you know, I know you might be busy and you have Jimmy's Club and, you know, first night at the venue. But if you took 40 seconds or whatever to come out and address the crowd, I think that it's that night to do that.
It's nice.
I don't think it's going to feel right unless Jimmy Coplick walks out.
Right.
And says, welcome. How you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very proud of it, so I'd like to do that, and I'd love to have you announce me out there. And when I get up there, I'll talk to Styx and see if Styx will okay it, which I'm pretty sure they will. I've worked with them for so many years, and then we'll do it. So we'll try to do it right before Styx, if it's possible.
Beautiful. And then you're going to be at some point in your club tonight, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I'll be in the club. I can't figure out when. The doors open at 6. But I don't think the club will be too busy at 6, so I'll try to get there sometime between 7 and 7:30. I'll try to get there.
Oh, I have a feeling your club is going to pack out. Everyone's been asking me about that. So the general doors, the gates open at 5, I think, right? And then your club opens at 6?
I actually thought the gates opened at 6, but I could be wrong.
Phil, can you check that? Because I have a feeling I'm wrong.
we're not married because one of us would be right.
It doesn't happen often, but every now and then when the mood is right.
Yeah.
We're so used to being wrong that we both think we're probably wrong.
We've made a living at being wrong.
Admitting we're wrong, let's put it that way.
I'm going to go with Jimmy knowing what time this thing opens up.
I just shut up.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought 5, and I'm glad we're talking about this now because I was going to get there at 5 and walk around and eat.
I feel like that's what we were told in a meeting yesterday was 5.
Well, you pay attention to meetings?
I was sleeping during that part.
I was looking at the wall. It was a stop.
No, listen, I think it's 6 o'clock, but I'm not really sure it's 6 o'clock.
You're probably right.
Somewhere around there.
You fact-checking over there?
I remember 5. That sticks in my head for some reason.
We've already established that could be wrong information.
Right.
Can we fact check this? All right, so we'll get back to that. But Jimmy's thinking 6, so I'm thinking 6.
Right.
I know Lappy's broadcasting all day from the venue.
Doors open at 6, and the theater will open up at 6:30 is what I have on my notes.
Okay. Wow.
So the doors open at 6, but we'll let people in on the floor around 6:30.
Well, I feel bad for the people who are listening to the show at 6:20 that aren't listening now, because I think I said 5.
Oops.
So if you see a group of people standing outside at 5,
right, all mad,
blame me.
all yelling effing jazz.
Yeah, sorry.
That effing jazz!
Well, maybe we shouldn't put you on stage. Hey, we were here early. We don't want to hear that.
Tomatoes,
right?
We got. Yeah.
Look, if we have a lot of people outside, and if we could let them in, the last thing we want to do is to make you look bad. So
I'll be the decoy.
And I heard Howard said all your things are hung at your club.
Yes, Yes, I last week we brought a lot of my memorabilia up. It's all up on the wall now. I haven't been there since it's been up there, so that'll be one of the first things I look at to make sure everything is right. But there's some pretty cool stuff up there.
And just a couple of other things. Bozzy wanted me to ask you about this $20 ticket thing.
He was very upset that he wasn't able to do it. I want you to know that.
Oops.
So, you know, but no,
well,
we have a great...
You're the headliner.
Yes.
Well, he doesn't like to hear that, though. We know Boz.
Right.
Yeah, starting at noon today, we will be having what we call our annual $20 ticket, and it's all in $20. That includes the Ticketmaster fee, so it's it's really an amazing bargain. And I'll quickly run through the shows, but there are so many shows in Connecticut that we're doing it for. For Xfinity Theater up in Hartford, we're doing some tickets for Alanis Morissette, Dead & Company, Florida Georgia Line, Jonas Brothers, Kiss, Korn, Lil Baby, Slipknot, and Thomas Rhett. So there are big, big shows that doing $20 tickets for. At Oakdale, it's Lidisi, Disney Princess, Kesha, a tribute to the White Beatles' White Album, and The Temptation, and The Four Tops. And then for our wonderful Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport, Harry Connick Jr., Little Big Town, Trippie Redd, Foreigner, Britt Floyd, Alice Cooper, Dropkick Murphys, Rod Wave, NF, Three Doors Down, Brothers Osborne, and Kings of Leon. So there are quite a lot of shows that are coming up, and at noon today, $20 all in. Just go on Ticketmaster, and you go to the show for $20, and
that's awesome.
Is the bargain of the world.
Smooth. And then Steely Dan.
Hallelujah. I am so happy to be able to bring Steely Dan back to Oakdale. In my top 10 bands of all time, one of my favorites, absolutely. And they decided to do a quick tour in the fall since they canceled their summer tour. I raised my hand, I begged, I cried, and we were able to get a date in Connecticut.
It sounds great. And they're going
Saturday, November 13th at Oakdale.
Yeah, on a Saturday, Steely Dan, and it's all the hits.
Nice.
Yeah, it's the greatest hits tour. How much fun is that? The question that comes up is, who's greatest hits? Yes, you know, I reel in the years. I heard it on the ad you ran. Okay, like the song, don't love the song, but certainly one of their greatest hits. I'd love to hear different songs, so it will be interesting to see how it does. I always would question a Steely Dan fan, what are your greatest hits? And I think there'd be 10 people would have 10 different answers.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
They have a lot to choose from.
They do.
So you're going to know
every
song.
Yeah, but they play long, so they'll probably play everything, which will be great.
Yeah, so definitely 6 tonight, the gates open. Jimmy, I'm very excited to be a small part of, in the atmosphere of this thing happening.
Not a small part. Everybody that walks in the front gate will see what emanated from your show, which is Guitar Man. And that really, I think, gave it the character that we needed. We all love the New Haven Coliseum. If you lived in Connecticut your entire adult life or whatever life, you have a strong affiliation towards the New Haven Coliseum. And it was through this show that we put Guitar Man. We found Guitar Man first, and then we put him up right above the guitar, right above the box office. And
it seems to fit right there perfectly. Like,
yeah.
Who knew?
Like it's meant to be.
That spot, and it fits perfectly.
Yeah, so don't diminish your impact on it. You had a big impact on this venue.
Well, I think about your career as a whole, and I think about you coming to Connecticut.
It's fleeting.
But, well, not with a day like today. No it's not. So I've always been pitching Jimmy on this movie.
Yeah.
That, Jimmy Coplick's life.
Throughout the year.
And I think it opens with, maybe a quick shot of Woodstock, just so you could kind of get the time period for concerts. And then it goes
Woodstock
right
to 69, not 99. I want to make that clear.
Yes. Right. And I want to ask you about that tomorrow. And then and then right into Watkins Glen.
Nice.
He's just a kid.
Yep.
And then all through this, meeting all the artists and all this stuff. And then this would be, maybe not the end of the movie, but this is another great part of the movie.
Absolutely.
Right? We thought it was going to be Xfinity. The curve in the movie would be, where's the money going to come from on this
one?
Right. And then this is the end of, close to the end of the movie, no?
Well, Well, this is the first venue I've opened since 1995, Xfinity, which was 26 years ago. So it took me 26 years to open up another venue. So in 26 years, I'll be in my 90s. So if I open another venue, I'm not sure I'll know I opened another venue.
I'll remind you. Jimmy, it opened!
Wipe the saliva off my mouth, put the bib on, and tell me I did it.
Like, Jimmy, it's on.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow on the show at this time, but we will see you tonight at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport for show number one. Congratulations
to
you.
And looking forward to seeing you.
Hello?
Hello?
Tommy?
Hey.
Oh, my God, you called us.
It's Tommy Shaw.
Oh, my God, it's Tommy Shaw calling us.
Oh, my God, it's Chad.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry, wrong number. Click, doo-doo.
Tommy Shaw, one of the greatest songwriters, singers, guitar players.
And phone dialers.
I push a button, man. I can do it.
Like a pro, man.
Now, thank you for waking up and doing this. I know this is early for you rock star types.
You know, time has no meaning.
You have too much time on your hands?
Oh, I was going to say that. Damn it.
that's one thing that's not true today.
Well, you're fooling yourself. Just kidding.
Well, we're very excited to talk to you about a lot of different things, but we appreciate you getting up and, you know, you're on a radio station that's been playing your music since the beginning, so it's a real thrill to have you here.
Yep.
I know. That's before you guys were born.
No.
I'd love to say that. I'd love to say a lot of things, but no.
Is it me or is your voice better now than it was 20, 30 years ago?
It's probably a little different, you know. Over the years, you learn how to survive and how to get through when you have a bad night. And it's just a journey of how to sing, you know, and every singer has their own experience with it.
I think it sounds great.
I'm waiting for mine to change.
I heard you do Too Much Time on My Hands with Daryl Hall, and I'm like, this friggin' guy sounds better now than I think he did in the 70s. I don't know if that's true, but you sound great, man.
Well, I'm probably taking in fewer things that are bad for me.
What would that be?
Did you guys have a drug and drinking problem in the 70s?
No, we had no problem getting drugs.
Nice. Yep, that just came right through.
I was always a lightweight, to be honest. You know, I was drinking
cheap
beer
and right.
Boone's Farm wine when I was in high school.
Boone's Farm.
Oh, my God. The strawberry is the best.
No. Going in, coming back out is not so good.
No.
Yeah.
And that was me. That was like, all right, pull the van over. Shaw's got to throw up.
Hold his hair.
He only had two sips.
Hold his hair.
I tried.
You did.
But the rest of the band, I mean, no one got kicked out for drugs or no one had to go into rehab.
Only they ran out, yep.
No, this has always been a very important thing in the lives of the band members. And everybody's always given their all, you know, no matter how they feel, whether they're sick or, you know, family situations and that sort of thing. But, you know, at 8 o'clock, it's the 8 o'clock suit-up time. Everybody shows up for that with everything they've got.
We're talking to Tommy Shaw, Styx and REO Speedwagon coming to the amphitheater. Do you realize that you are the first band to play the stage at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport?
If they're just wanting to make sure that all the electrical stuff is right, so we can take a shot.
Right.
You're the test band.
I did it myself.
It's an honor to be the first band. You know, there's only one first, and we're going to be it. So we're honored.
When you think about all the things you looked out and saw in the audience, is there anything that stands out?
Yeah, there's one in particular. It was at a county fair that we were playing probably 10 years ago. People were standing up, and about five rows back, there was this nice-looking woman. And I'd look out there every once in a while, and she'd pull her shirt up and flash her boobs. And then at one point, the person in front of her moved a little bit, and there was a little boy was standing next to her. And every time she would do it, he's going, Mom!
Hang on! Mama's getting you a daddy!
Stop it,
you need a daddy!
Mama's getting you a daddy!
Mama's getting you a daddy! Shut up!
It was just so, because then it changed the, she's nice looking, but she's Carol's mom.
Yeah, it became dirty and weird, you know?
Yeah, it became weird.
Right. Yeah. Shut up, you get a car dog.
I'm not a perv.
Right.
Sorry, kid.
Right. And then the entire band turned around.
Hot mom. Did Styx, when they were looking for a guitar player to replace that guy who left right before the tour, did they find you in a bowling alley? Is that where they first saw you?
No, this was pre-bowling alley. I was on the road. Actually, our band has moved from the road. We've been on the road for a couple of years, and we wound up playing a lot of our shows in the Midwest. And we've gotten a manager who lived in Chicago, and then we got an agent who lived in Chicago. And so we played this club on Rush Street called Rush Up, and we played late in the evening there. And we met, you know, all kinds of people who would come from other, you know, their concerts or clubs and that sort of thing. And one night, the tour manager for Styx, a guy named Jim Bosicek, and, you know, he's had a nice talk, and he said, we really like your band, and then went about his way. And it was Jim Bose, who called me in December of that year and said, Styx is looking for a guitar player, and you should come up here and audition. You know, that's how that happened.
They were kind of a thing, you know, nowhere near the success after you guys all got together, but they were a known entity.
They were huge in Chicago. Hated them because they're putting out a new record every year, and it's like we couldn't afford to go to and have a recording session. And they were hooked up with this guy named Dex Card, who was a promoter, local promoter, and he put them in every high school prom, every homecoming. And so there would be these commercials this week, Styx at this high school in Evanston, and Lady. You know, playing this. God, we hate these guys. And, you know, we're playing 4 or 5 sets a night and no record deal or nothing. And then one time, one of the guys in the band on a night off, a couple of guys went to see Styx and they came back and they said, they're really good. Like,
oh,
no.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Damn it. I'm going to audition.
Do you remember the first time you heard yourself on the radio?
Yes. Yeah. Driving through, I can't remember what the city was in Texas, but Crystal Ball had just been released as a single. And it said, there's, you know, just a minute, new single from Styx. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And so, and it comes on, and it's sped up. It sounds like chipmunks.
Oh, no.
I don't know if you remember, but there was a time when radio had this good idea that if we speed things up until we can get more, you know, songs in or more ads in, and we were already singing really high.
Wow.
And to speed us up, it did sound like what?
Like helium.
like helium. So,
you couldn't even tell the Bee Gees. I mean, it wouldn't even register unless you're a dog.
Even the Bee Gees said, that's high.
I know. Well, they'd also edited the single, so it was shorter. It was like, what is this? Who said you could do this? But it was also, wow, this is great that I'm hearing my song that I wrote, you know, when I was playing in the bowling alley lounge.
That's
you
funny.
Know, hearing it on the radio.
Talking to Tommy Shaw of Styx playing the amphitheater tonight. Two things rock fans, I think, would like to see. One is Steve Perry back with Journey, and the other, Dennis DeYoung back with Styx. Any chance of that happening?
Well, we did it. We did have he came back, and we did a Return to Paradise. And this is after we had broken up with each other. And it was, you know, like when people get divorced and then they're still kind of friends and they say, well, let's get back together. And it's nice for a little while. And then all the things that made them break up the first time, they return because people are who they are.
Where the hell was I when this happened? What year was this?
97, 96 maybe.
Wow. Can you do it one more time?
I missed it. Right. You called the Chaz Missed It Tour.
Where was I in 97? I was on Long Island in 97.
And well, what do we tell Lawrence Gowan? What do we tell the guy who's been in the band for 20 years? People want to see us up there arguing on stage.
Right.
I don't think they do.
Did you ever argue with Dennis on stage?
No.
No.
Offstage, though.
But offstage.
Really, it's like you get divorced, but your family really likes your ex-wife.
Yeah.
And you really don't get along.
That's right.
You just don't get along.
I got you.
And life is too short, but your parents love her, so just bring her over. You guys just act like you like each other. But yeah. Then that'll make it. You know,
it's like, Ma, it's over.
Right.
It's over. And we're both good with it.
Get over it.
We did it.
Tommy, you didn't call. I missed it.
He didn't have your number back then.
But let me ask you this. Was it
you like, never paid attention in school, did you?
No. You got me pegged.
How did we get this job?
I
didn't think I'd come away from this interview mad at myself.
Right.
I'm mad at myself for missing that.
That'd be a good Styx song, mad at myself. I'm mad at myself, and really, I can't believe it.
I don't mean to say anything bad about Dennis. You know,
he's of course not.
Incredible artist. I wish him happiness. He's got a great band. He calls the shots over there. So, you know, I think that's the right place for him. I don't want to. That's why I hate kind of being drawn into the.
I feel like I'm saying
negative things about him. And
right. You're not.
No.
And thank you for not saying, hey, man. People have to stop asking about
right,
this.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you entertaining the question because this is my first interview with you, and we did want to cover this for the Styx fans. But I have a feeling that it's the same thing with Steve Perry. It's just, you know, Neil is the driver now,
yeah,
and it's hard to bring another driver in,
yeah,
right?
Like, he drives so well.
AJ and I have been together for almost 20 years, and actually.
25 years.
25 years. You know, we have a good relationship because he's the funny, creative guy. I'm more of a driver.
Right.
So if you have one driver, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm the drunk passenger.
Would you say that's kind of what that whole deal is?
It's really a band kind of thing. You know, no one is ever forced, you know, I'm calling the shots and this is how... You know, we listen to each other because we all really care about what's best for the band. And sometimes it needs to be pointed out, you know, you're kind of, you changed this part now. It's slowly evolving into a different part. And you have to be reminded. And so we're always looking out for the band. We're like this group of parents for the one child, which is the music. You know, it's a very happy place. It's not like a... It's not like a boss and a bunch of, you know, employees.
Right, right.
It's every, you know, you think, look at who's in the band. You know, Todd Sukerman, Lawrence Gowan. I don't know if you've seen us with Lawrence in the band. Have you?
Only on video. So tonight's going to be the first night.
Yeah.
You got to see him live. He's an unbelievable musician, writer, singer, entertainer. You've never seen a keyboard player like him. Everybody in the band is a standout star of their own instrument or what they do.
We're talking to Tommy Shaw of Styx playing the amphitheater tonight. When you wrote Blue Collar Man, do you remember where you were? Was that did that come to you fast?
Well, it started on a fishing boat, and you know, we were all a little buzzed on it, and we were just kind of out there just trolling and going over waves, and it was the sound of the engine kind of had that sound of the organ, and the song just popped up in my head from there. My father was a blue-collar man. He drove a truck to the Alabama Gas Company for 47 years, and he knew the guy to come, you know, redo the pipes under your house or put a gas lantern in. But I've never been a blue collar man. I've always been a musician. I had a good friend who also had we both had four wheel drive trucks that were customized and lift kits on them. And
nice.
We'd go out and just, you know, go over railroad tracks and things. And one day he got fired from the railroad. He got laid off. He didn't get fired. He got laid off. And he had to, for the first time in his life, he had to go stand in line for unemployment.
Oh.
And it was awful for him. And so that I think was the thing that gave me the, you know, it was an embodiment of a blue collar predicament.
Did you write that before you were in Styx?
No, I've been in Styx.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes songwriters will write a song when they're in high school, and right. then they'll pull it out in the studio later on in, you know,
in life. Yeah,
life. Yeah.
My high school songs are all—they were all about the girl who didn't love me.
Oh. Was it a particular girl?
Oh, God. No one wants to hear this song.
What's her name?
Mine, she and I are still friends, and she's married, and her son just recently came to see us. So now we're old friends.
Yeah, but every time her husband is a jerk, she just says, Tommy freaking Shaw!
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I could have had Tommy freaking Shaw!
Boy, did she blow it.
And trust me, anytime a Styx video came on,
oh, yeah.
click!
Right.
We're changing the channel! Well, we're honored to have Styx be the very first band that plays this world-class amphitheater in its debut
yep.
tonight. Wait until you see your dressing room.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah?
You're going to love it.
Yep.
And we look forward to seeing you tonight. If you want to say hi to Chaz and AJ while you're on stage.
Right.
I'm
right.
going to be flashing my boobs looking down at my kid.
Right. I'll be the kid.
That'll be the dead giveaway.
I'll be going, Chaz! Chaz!
Tommy, it's really an honor to talk to you, man. I'm just, we're big fans.
Thanks
and thank you for all the
show.
Music and the memories. Tommy Shaw, everybody.
Yeah!
Woohoo!
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, man.
All right. See you tonight.